Hi.
Hi, everyone.
So, do you want to explain to everybody why we're late today?
Where do I start? Should I start at 6 o'clock?
No.
You only want to complain about me? Is that where I'm supposed to start? Well, he was hungry, right. And then he wanted coffee, and then he wanted his second cup of coffee, and he wanted a bagel.
This really did not turn out the way that I wanted it to.
I thought so, because you thought it was going to be a discussion about how long I take to shower, right? But no, it only took that long.
Go to livingfearlessdevotional.com to go to Apple Podcasts, where you're going to subscribe and give us 5 stars and give a review of how much you love the show.
And how funny we are. And exactly. How inspiring. And if you don't feel that way, then just don't comment.
Yeah, just watch. But you can lie.
You can lie. But
can you lie on a devotional?
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Why do I listen to you?
This is going to be a wonderful day. All right, we're coming here from Ventura County in California, the great state of California, where we are as free as can be.
Communist state of California.
Wow, what a day. Already.
I noticed you shifted the whole computer over towards you.
Well, I did. Well, it has to do with the tech that we have, the incredible technology that we have added. It had to be done.
Okay.
It had to be done to make the line. See, even the line back there is still not even. All right. Can we get the devotional?
Yes, please.
You know, I want to, I wonder if I should wait. Yeah, let's wait. I'm going to talk about something in just a second. Let me go ahead and bring the screen up here. I'm touching the screen. It's so odd. All right. I love that picture.
It's a great picture.
That's so awesome. Our misgivings about Jesus. Again, we're reading from My Utmost for His Highest. Oswald Chambers is the author. The reference today is John 4:11. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw," and then in parentheses, "water with, and the well is deep."
Wow. Good.
Have you ever said to yourself, "I'm impressed with the wonderful truths of God's word, but he can't really expect me to live up to that work, all those details in my life"? When it comes to confronting Jesus Christ on a basis of his qualities and abilities, our attitudes reflect religious superiority. We think his ideals are lofty and they impress us, but we believe he is not in touch with reality, that what he says cannot actually be done. Each of us thinks this about Jesus in one area of our life or another. These doubts or misgivings about Jesus begin as we consider questions that divert our focus from God. While we talk of our dealings with him, others ask us, "Where are you going to get enough money to live? How will you live, and who will take care of you?" Or our misgivings begin with ourselves when we tell Jesus that our circumstances are just a little too difficult for him. We say it's easy to say, "Trust in the Lord," but a person has to live. And besides, Jesus has nothing with which to draw water, no means to be able to give us these things. And beware of exhibiting religious deceit by saying, "Oh, I have no misgivings about Jesus, only misgivings about myself." If we are honest, we will admit that we never have misgivings or doubts about ourselves, because we know exactly what we are capable and incapable of doing. But we do have misgivings about Jesus, and our pride is hurt even at the thought that he can do what we can't. My misgivings arise from the fact that I search within to find how he will do what he says. My doubts spring from depths of my own inferiority. If I detect these misgivings in myself, I should bring them into the light and confess them openly. Lord, I have had misgivings about you. I have not believed in your abilities, but only my own. And I have not believed in your almighty power apart from my finite understanding of it.
Oh, love that. My doubts spring from my own inferiority.
You know what? Go ahead and start.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I kind of had to collect the thoughts because there was so much I was thinking about this morning when I read it. And then actually before I read it I think even something we talked about yesterday, that how different my life is with being okay with not being able to do everything and not knowing everything. You know, we always, so, but I always want to be the guy that knows everything and knows how to do stuff. I don't like anybody telling me what to do. I like doing stuff all by myself because I don't think anybody could do it as good as I can. It was hard as a business owner to push off responsibility to other people because I knew they wouldn't do it as well as I could. I mean, right? I mean, there's so much for 50 some odd years that I truly believe that no one, including Jesus Christ, could do anything better than I could. That really seems bad thinking about it now. It really seems horrible. And it's been great handing stuff over to you, such capable hands, which I never would have done. I've never would have done a show with somebody else as a co-host. It would have been temporary. Like, okay, we'll do two.
You're cute,
yeah,
but
yeah,
okay.
But yeah, but listen.
You're annoying.
Yeah. even if you proved yourself to know what you do, I mean, know a lot about scripture, that would have been intimidating. Like, wait a minute, now that's too much knowledge. Like, there would have been, when I'm reading this, and that's where I was kind of jumbled up and having difficulty because I was thinking, God, that has been my entire freaking life that I've not been able to hand over any aspect because I know what I'm doing. Even when I failed, I knew what I was doing.
Well, that's what I was saying. I don't know if it's so much like, oh my God, I think I'm the greatest thing in the world, but I know me. Like, I know my capabilities and my limitations, and I don't want to leave the comfort zone of what I know I can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And walk into, especially walking with Christ, walking into a purpose and a destiny that he has when he says, you know, make a left. And you're like, wait a minute, my whole life I've made a right. You know, like, and now you want me to go left? It is really, really hard to think he's going to make it all come together when you follow his will for your life. For me, at times I feel like I'm having open heart surgery with no anesthesia because it's very hard for me.
And this is the very beginning. And that's where I started stumbling right away because I could not get off the first part. Have you ever said to yourself, I am impressed with the wonderful truths of God's word, but he can't really expect me to live up to that and work all those details into my life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because not because I don't think I can do it, obviously, because I've told you I can do anything. I'm exactly. Spectacularly talented, but and would you please comment? I see a lot of people watching. Just please comment and say hi and give us your thoughts and tell me how full of crud I am. But that part, like, how could I possibly live up to these details in my life? Because I think because there's also with an ego also comes I don't want to fail.
Right. The inferiority complex.
And I told you, I shared with you the other day when I decided I was going to play ice hockey. I had played foot hockey for a while and then roller hockey. Foot hockey is the thing, by the way, on tennis shoes. You run around.
Ah,
yeah, okay. I was in the league and played very well. But then when it came to ice hockey, I have ice skated maybe like three times before I started playing ice hockey. And I didn't want to go onto the rink with all my fellow police officers and firemen.
Pressure.
Without being able to skate. Like, I wanted to play ice hockey so bad. I've been playing these other types of hockey for a while. There's no way I could go there and look like an idiot. So I went and took lessons from a professional Olympics, you know, style coach to coach me. You got to coach. I can't go out there and look like an idiot. And so when I read this part about, you know, God's word, but he can't really expect me to live up to and work all those details into my life because I might fail. Somebody might see, I might be exposed as a fraud.
But isn't that interesting though, that when you think about it, the dedication that you're willing to give to ice hockey, do we give that dedication to becoming a Christ follower? Well, no, we just look at the set of rules and we're like, oh, that looks like a lot. I mean, I don't know, Jesus, I try every day. I try, but you know, I don't think I'm going to live up to it. But yet when it's something about money or passion or something else that we're interested in, we're willing to give 110%. It's weird the way that works.
But the transition of Andy is that now I'm okay with it. That's the trend. Now I'm going to finally come to the part that I want to come to, that all those years of not wanting to fail in front of anybody, not wanting to look weak. You know, when they hung the sign on my door that they were foreclosing on my house, I need to be out in 30 days, all that stuff that I didn't want to share. Like, oh my gosh, did a neighbor see them come up? Like, did somebody like, oh my gosh, people are seeing that I've been exposed as a fraud. But with this walk, this period of my life with God and you, I don't care. I love it. I love as I'm now, again, I've talked, I'm essentially walking around in a diaper with my baby belly. I'm such a kid. Oh, like I'm learning. I don't care. I don't care about the friends who knew me from before saying, but you're Andy. You're the guy. You're the party guy. You're the Las Vegas dude. that we would go to Vegas and just do stuff on the way to Vegas. I mean, not even, we would start, you know, as soon as we start the drive.
Tour bus?
Whatever, in the car, in the rental car.
When you're older, not when you're driving the tour bus to Vegas.
Yeah, then too. But it's just, but I'm the guy. I'm the fun guy. Mm. That I don't care. That I kind of, it's actually
liberating.
Freeing. Yeah. Liberating. That's the word. I'm like a woman burning my bra.
That is hysterical.
I'm liberated. Like I'm so free. Like I could care. The other thing is that I've shared, I mean, there's so much freedom in all this in the not being afraid, not having to hide anything. Like you asked me for, and you are in my email and you said, you know, there might be something in your email. I go, I don't care. You can, whatever. There's nothing for me to hide. I mean, if it's something from the past, I can just tell you that was from the past. There's nothing. Oh, nothing. But it's so freeing. I got to tell you, men that are watching, that are living the life that I used to live, where you're having to hide your phone and make sure you have a code and make sure you have, secret folders, whatever it is. I'm trying to think of all the things that I've heard from men that have like a porn addiction, that kind of stuff, where they're hiding all their stuff, yeah. Right? And afraid that somebody's going to find it.
Sure.
That's a horrible way to live. That I've heard guys talk about all the different things they've gone through, you know, every day with their kids and their wives. And I'm sure there's women that do it too, whether it's gambling or purchasing stuff and hiding the receipts and hiding credit
and
cards.
Porn.
And really?
What, women don't watch porn?
I don't know. But all that stuff, but it's so like, whatever now. Like, it's like all these bricks are off your shoulder and released. I'm just speaking to you to tell you that if you live in that way, that it's much better to live this way.
Well, tell them how you got to this point though. How does that liberation occur?
Well, for
is
me,
it walking with Christ.
It's walking with God in Christ. It's accepting Him as your Lord and Savior and making changes in your life. You know, getting rid of the weight. You have to shed it. You have to actually get rid of it. And I fail. I mean, I got rebuked by a friend of mine the other day by one of my posts because my sense of humor is still. It's still a little sharp.
Salvation isn't an instant, but the sanctification process takes time.
Yeah,
my daughter will tell you the same.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm working on it. It's where I'd rather have those little failures than the other gigantic failures I used to have.
Absolutely.
And now it's a matter of maintaining it because both of us can go back to the old Hedia and Andy.
Yes.
But then we would lose each other. We would lose a lot of the things that we have planned for the future. We talked about today, we're going to go walk around a mall. Why? Because we want to, and we have fun doing it.
Yeah.
Together.
Yes.
But it's the freedom. I just want to share with the men and the women out there that are struggling with stuff that is causing you to live a secret life.
Well,
it's challenging. It's hard. It's tiresome. It's so freeing when you're not doing that anymore.
Well, that's one of the promises of God, right? That He set the captives free. And people mm-hmm. use that as kind of a catchphrase or a slogan, but it's a literal freedom. In other words, you hand your life to Him, He forgives your sin, and that burden gets lifted. And it's not just the burden of, oh my God, I'm going to get to go to paradise now, mm-hmm. but it's the everyday lifting of the stress of, oh my God, I got to be the richest person, or I got to be the smartest person, or I got to be the prettiest person, and I have to, you know, take these drugs to feel a certain way, to perform a certain way. He sets you free from all the strongholds that keep you attached to the world. And it is not easy to break them. They come back, you know, like you think you've taken them all off, and then you see that there's one string still left, mm-hmm. and you're cutting that one off, and then it comes back in another way, or it manifests itself in another way. It's never easy, and I'm not going to say it's instantaneous. I'm not mislead anyone.
It's the devil tying those strings on at night when we're sleeping. He comes back and goes, I noticed you cut your string.
Exactly.
Ties the string back together.
Exactly. Let's see if she notices.
Yeah.
She's going to tie around her pinky. and see if she notices. But yeah, I mean, Christ came to set the captives free.
Hmm. Wow. Are we on task with this devotional?
As we
go out, did I take us off?
Well, I could bring us slightly back. This idea has been a theme we've talked about in the devotionals for about a couple of days now, that is following him. When you hear from the Lord and he takes you a place where you've never been, the hardest part is when the novelty wears off of, oh my God, I heard from God, and you actually have to walk in it, is what is that going to be like? How are you going to eat? Mm-hmm. How are you going to take care of yourself? What is Jesus going to provide? Like, you're taking me to this place and I know nothing about this place. This is something I'm experiencing. I have this big move. I'm going to a city I don't know. My daughter's going to a school she doesn't know and she has no friends. And, you know, I mean, it's like, it's all the excitement of starting a life with Andy is amazing, but there's so much fear attached to it as well, if I allow it. But again, what I have to rest on is the Lord brought me here, is taking me there, and will provide for me there. Like when you have the surety of knowing you are in God's will, it's not that problems won't come, but he will give you the strength and the tools to overcome them.
Yeah, that's that. Did you just read this line? I'm not sure. Or our misgivings begin with ourselves when we tell Jesus that our circumstances are just a little too difficult for him.
I don't really think you know what you're doing.
Yeah. We say it's easy to say trust in the Lord, but a person has to live. And besides, Jesus has nothing with which to draw water. No means to be able to give us these things.
I love the analogy they make of that with the woman at the well, because he says to her, I want a drink of water. And she's like, but you don't have a bucket. Like, what do you mean you want water? How are you going to draw water? You don't have a bucket. Like she thinks of the material things of how he's going to make this manifest. And he's like, you don't get it, do you? Mm-mm. You know? And it's the same thing we do about Jesus being like, okay, am I going to get a job? Like, am I going to find a house? Like, What am I going to do, Jesus? You know, what's going to happen? And he's like, I'm God. Don't worry about that. Don't sweat the small stuff.
Come on, bro.
Don't sweat the small stuff, bro.
We got this.
We got this.
We got this together. Yes. Just follow my lead.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. I love the people that are joining us on Twitch, Wandering Musician.
Hello there.
The Twitch is an amazing, it's a whole nother world.
Is it?
I've never been on Twitch.
Different genre.
Just different. Yeah. Different.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah. He says hello. He or she. Looks like a he. Can't tell. Wow. So the freedoms of allowing Jesus into our decision making every day.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah. Not allowing us to fear. You know, the Bible says often not to fear.
Did not give you a spirit of fear.
And I'm so sorry. I just think about just how different. I mean, we are in the period of time that we've known each other, we just make fun of that all the time. But waking up, like we wake now, it's just, I know this won't be every day. I don't want to set any high expectations. Yeah. I don't know. I want it to, but we wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock, and we just laugh. But it's all thanks to God.
At three in the morning, I said, how are you, Pikachu? And he was like, wait, are you awake?
You'd think we'd be tired of each other already.
No. God willing, never.
But it's been so good. But it is the lift of the darkness. And it's not to say there's not things that there's things that are difficult, but it's easier to handle the things that are difficult when you don't have so many other things holding you back.
Exactly.
The things that are just anchors in your life that you've created, that we've created.
Our own anchors.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dragging us down. Wow, another one from YouTube. So we landed on the Mars, apparently. The mission will look for traces of life. Sorry. What will happen if they find it? Is there something I can read in the Bible for this? Hey, do you have anything on that?
I knew you were going to ask me.
Are they doing
evils? And you know, honestly, that's, I think, one of the only subjects that I can't recall about biblical doctrine is life on other planets. I know there's Adam and then Christ is the last Adam, but I don't know about biblical theories on life on other planets.
I, you know, they talk about, I can't remember the speaker that we had at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, who talked about the planets and how God created the sure. solar system, the universe and all the planets and how everything has to be, had to be perfectly, Absolutely. It had to be perfect. There's no way life on Earth could exist in the way that it does without the perfection of God's influence on the universe.
Or there being a God to have perfected it.
That the planets are in the other planets are in the perfect spot without those planets being in that perfect spot.
Hitting each other.
Yeah, just all this kind of madness. Sure. That the exploration of other planets, I think, just tells us more about God's existence. Like, wow, this is like, it's just the impossibilities of it being anything other than from God. It becomes more apparent the more we explore it.
Well, I think
is what I think, and I know what he's talking about. Looking for life,
and that looking kind of for life, and also that is it evil to go to other planets? And
no.
Is there? Do we expect that there is other life forms? I'm just not familiar with that side of biblical doctrine.
The apologetics.
If anybody else is listening, there does know that subject.
Yeah, but the apologetics, I think, in some cases that when we go to science often proves God's existence.
Absolutely.
And I think the exploration of for other life is to see, like to prove.
That
whatever is found will only bring us closer to God if we allow it to.
Can I take a little small tangent here?
Yeah.
Like we've had so much disappointment in our government lately, and I've worked for the federal government for 20 plus years, but I went to the Air and Space Museum in DC. It's a big thing to do with little kids, especially. It's one of their favorite museums. And when they show you the Tonka toys that they claim were on the moon, you're just looking at this going, okay. Okay, so somebody is making this foof up, because that Tonka toy did not go on another planet on a road. I mean, it really looks ridiculous. And so when they say we just landed on Mars, I kind of chuckle, because I don't even know if I believe they landed on the moon.
Really?
I think some of the stuff is faked.
That's where you those are the differences. There's the difference between you and I.
Yeah. See, I mean, I
love space exploration.
But I don't know if I believe it. I would love it if it was real. I mean, like, there's a lot of hoax people say about hoax about 9/11. I don't know. I lived through 9/11. I don't believe it was a hoax. I saw the Pentagon. That was not a hoax. But the Mars and the moon thing, I don't know.
Everything gets exposed at some point. Everything.
But that's what they're saying. Haven't you seen all those skeptic shows on the Tonka toys?
Nah.
Oh, okay. Well, then you have to watch one of them. Because that's what made me skeptical. Saying, you really believe this thing landed on another planet? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you gone to the Air and Space? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No.
Your investigator skills would definitely come out.
All right.
Thank you, Arturo. We went off on a completely different tangent.
I love it, though.
Life on other planets.
The comments is what makes the show. That's why I encourage people to comment all the time.
Yes, absolutely.
Because sometimes, I mean, we had the person from India the other day.
Yes.
Who says why he's, it was Hindu, right?
He was Hindu, and he was upset about Christian missionaries.
Yeah, forcing Christianity. But we may or may not have come to a conclusion about that. Thank you for your thoughts. God bless you, and I agree. Thank you.
Many agree with you.
Of course. You know what we're talking
don't
about.
Don't listen to her.
9/11 was a hoax.
No, that don't say that. That, I mean, that's I very know. Dear to my heart.
It is. It's crazy, but yeah. But Arturs Toss, right?
So our conclusion.
That. Oh, yeah, sorry. Before we went off. That wasn't my fault squirrels. For the squirrel.
That was not yours.
But it was a good squirrel. That's a really good discussion. I would love to explore that a little bit more.
What the
question was.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Another Ula Haloob Tinsley tuning in late. God bless you too. Thank you
Thank
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. So one last bit of this, and I was looking at it, and we got the Mars thing, which is cool. I'm not saying anything about it. Rise from the fact. Sorry. I got to get
my
back to it.
Doubt springs from the depth of my own inferiority.
Yes. Yes.
That's just classic.
But see that, but going back again, that I have never, I don't want anybody to see that I'm inferior to them, to anybody or anything.
Yeah.
It was such a burdensome thing.
To be afraid of it.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Why did I do that to why?
Well, And actually, I want to bring up a topic that we bring about this. So in this particular topic, actually, about not wanting to seem less than, Andy and I have been very, very fortunate to have made a commitment to each other that we have both honored early on not to play games. And I know we all say that, right? You said a relationship, like let's not play games. but
I like how you said that.
Right? Because I think every dude has ever said to me, let's not play games. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Let's not play any games. And I'll be like, and okay.
10 seconds later.
Right? How long has it been since I've called? He's calling. I'm not answering. I'll wait till the fifth ring.
It's his turn to call. Back. Yeah, right? I called the last time. Let me look. Yep, I'm the one who texts last.
Right?
I didn't even get an emoji.
I'm not talking to you anymore. That was not enough emojis.
I need a thumbs up.
And, a thumbs up? Just a thumbs up?
Andy told me early on, he's like, the last woman he dated broke up with him because there weren't enough emojis on his text. And I was like, wow. Okay. We're not going there. I'm too old for that.
The last time there were 10 emojis and now there's like no emojis.
Well,
so go ahead, continue. No games.
We actually have lived by it up until today where we really go almost overboard to tell each other how much we love each other all the time, constantly, to the point where sometimes Andy says to me, are you ever going to get tired of me doing that? I'm like, absolutely not. And then at one point we both had this sense that like, but wait a second, why is it so easy to love each other? Like, why are we? And again, it's that same freedom. It's that same freedom where the Lord told me that you were the one that he had chosen. So once he had made that choice, what am I going to hold back? I mean, this is the person he's designated me to spend the rest of my life with. So why not have the absolute best time I could possibly have?
Yep.
Like, that's the mindset that Christ gave me because this love is his gift to me. So my point being is that I encourage everybody who's in a relationship that you believe is founded on loving principles and is Christ honoring to give it everything you've got, right? Like just 150%, just give it everything you've got, because it was very scary for me again to do that, but you so readily reciprocated, which I don't think is normal for you either.
Nope.
Right?
No, because I told you, I said, it's just so unusual to just say how I feel as opposed to measuring what I say in protection of myself in a way.
Exactly.
Here's a little bit, because I don't want you to think that I love you too, because I don't want you to walk all over me because now you think that I love you so much that I'll take crap from you.
It's like calculating 100 steps ahead and negative steps.
Yes.
Because if I give you too much, then you're going to treat me like crap and I'm not going to like it. So I'm going to preempt you by not giving you enough love. Yeah. Like, what is that? How many relationships did we do that in?
All of them.
All of them. Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. Get rid of this thing. I don't know. Hideous story. Wow. What a wonderful testimony. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, hideous. Sorry.
Is she talking about what I just said now?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just said now. Yeah. I mean, but we both have that history of just playing games. I mean, it's always like, you know, there would have been that game of I'm going to need to wait a couple of days before I call, because if I act too eager, then, you know, then you're going to be either turned off by my eagerness or you're going to be you'll take advantage of my eagerness.
Right.
There's both sides of that coin as opposed to no, I just want to freaking call.
Right.
Yeah. And we'll talk on the phone for 5 hours.
And we were like little kids. We did it after the first day.
Yeah.
We sure did.
And then everything after that. But I'm going to give the credit to God. And I know that there's people out there that will say, oh, there he is again, going back to the, you know, it's God's, you know, God talking to him. But it's more than that. It is the freedom that God, following Jesus Christ, gives me as a godly man, that all that stuff was not of God. That was all from, you know,
the devil, the flesh, that
I can do this better if I, you know, just, you know, follow some other information, so maybe some other book that I read, or a false God or a false teacher. How do you feel, Andy? What is the most important thing God tells us about in the Bible? And that is about love.
Exactly.
Love.
Exactly.
And if you don't do things with love,
then how can you withhold it? Right.
Yeah.
That's deep. That's deep. That the most important thing God tells us is to love God all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and to love people.
And to love your spouse as Jesus Christ loved the church.
Exactly.
Aww. We wrapped it up right there.
Right there. Pretty big book. And to me, honestly, that is a self-sacrificial, unconditional love, is to love also when you're upset. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When it doesn't feel so loving, or when it's times like I've started to condition my mind, because remember, we're undoing so many habits, right? Mm-hmm. We're undoing decades of habits.
Yeah.
And so I'm constantly telling my mind that, like, you've got to pivot from this pattern, you know? So like I sit and I get mopey or I'm upset about something and I'm like, okay, just go over there, give him a hug, tell him you love him, put a smile on your face. And it's like, I have to remind myself at first, but then it feels so good after I do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad I did that.
We look at all the times that I held a grudge and was angry and didn't come home because I didn't want to deal with what was the negativity that was happening at home. As opposed to if I just would have came home and said, you know, I'm sorry. Right? I love you. And given a hug or something, how things might have been different. Well, the sad thing, then you and I might not be here together. But
yeah. I don't want to hear about how that might be different.
But at least I still don't think it would have worked out. However, it would have been a much better life than sleeping on the couch in my office all the days that I spent sleeping on the couch in my office.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to avoid whatever it was that I was dealing with. That is just, it's usually the last thing. And it also stems from what I just said, is that the most important thing, the one thing that I told you from the very beginning, is that we have six children. And my youngest one is seven all the way up to 26. So we have everything in between. That I so badly was desperately wanting my children to see what it looks like for a couple to be in a loving relationship. And they are seeing it. And
maybe more than they would like to.
Yeah. Not that great, but yeah.
No, meaning like they don't like us hugging or kissing.
And here are how we talk to each other, that we say we love you on the phone. We say goodbye with an I love you. Just seeing what that looks like. And then also hearing us, they sometimes will be in the room when we're doing it live or when I'm in a live, and hearing that the talk of what a loving couple sounds like, and the lack of game playing that we can see that, you know, I have two kids, one that they're teenagers, they just turned teenagers, and they're going through that thing, and hopefully helping them with that aspect too, that not bring that into their daily life. They have to be cautious. You know, they have to be careful on what it is they're doing at the stage of their relationship building, but understanding what it looks like to build a relationship of love and respect for one another.
Absolutely.
That's but seeing it, see the example, see an example of adults who are following God in other ways, but also in a relationship. Both those things are extremely important that they've missed their entire life.
We'll see.
My kids have missed.
Well, but see, I'll tell you, I didn't miss it. So. But yet I still ended up messed up in the head. Mm. So I'm reading this book called Unbroken, which is by this Christian minister about like sexual, physical, emotional dysfunction in people. And honestly, I don't know how many of you have had this experience, but I came from a very loving home. My parents were madly in love and still are to this day in their 80s. But I ended up so much more broken so it wasn't a reflection of what I saw. I guess it was just a reflection. I don't know. From what this book is saying, a lot of that is a reflection of how we're treated as children, meaning were we, and this is something Pastor Mark was talking about, like, do we uplift our children or do we curse them? And I'm learning this a lot with my daughter because, again, the habits were my dad never cursed me, but he always belittled me, meaning it was nothing was enough. Nothing was good enough. It was never, oh my God, you're such a superstar. It was like, you could do better. As if praise would make me weak. Mm. So he never ever praised me. And Pastor Mark's teacher goes, no, that's not love. That's not how you show love. You show love by lifting and speaking life into them, not speaking death or insecurity or malfunction or you're never going to be enough and you're good for nothing. Mm. Right?
You're so full of goodness. We should not spend all this on one devotional. What are we going to do on the next couple of devotionals? But the only thing I was thinking is that you often talk about how much your mom and dad love each other. So you at least have that you're taking away, yes. that part of it, that's sure. you saw the dedication and the love.
Yes.
You know, going to Iran and then, being.
Coming from Iran.
But they went back to Iran and being asked to stay.
Oh, that one trip. Yeah.
They would stay. And then they agreed, no, we're not. Are you crazy? Right? We're not staying in Iran. We're coming back to the United States.
Never. No, they are what I can.
You can look at that part of it.
For sure.
But how it affected you on the other end was the other aspect, the father-daughter.
Yeah.
Relationship. That was what was causing the issue.
But now when I looked at growing up, especially when I came to Christ, the Lord knew as I was developing my relationship with him, that my dream from a child that I thought had died was that I have a relationship like my parents. Mm. So that's what I draw from.
You know what's so funny? I'm afraid I'm going to get a whole bunch of other stuff here. Just the funny part is that my mom and dad, in my family growing up, we never said, I love you. My mom and dad never said it to each other in front of us. They remained married all until their death. I know they loved each other, but they never said, I love you. And there wasn't a lot of affection. And they never said it to us. But, and so my response was to not be that way, where I love my kids so much. And I tell them I love them at every chance I get. So, but it's funny that we have these stories of how that impacted us in that way. Where I didn't have good luck early on without God was the love. In two marriages, they lacked an aspect of love that was necessary to keep them together. That's what was missing. I was not taught that. I did not see that. God taught me that. Jesus Christ taught me that. The Holy Spirit. And I learned that since I've met you. That's what makes it different.
That is so beautiful. Yeah, it's so. Because I tell that I need this, that when we get in arguments, I say that, you know, you can out cold me. Like, so when I get upset, I sit there and I was like, listen, if you don't give in first, this dude's not going to talk to you for the next 6 months. I'm like, he will sleep on the couch. He will stay quiet for the next 3 years, you know? So I know that I am the one that has to approach you. And it's like, and I have these whole conversations with the Lord. I'm like, why am I me? And the Lord constantly reassures me, give unconditionally and he will return it. And my mom always taught me that, because my mom was the same way. Like anybody that you speak to that has long, long standing decades and decades of a good relationship, they will tell you it's sacrifice, which is again, what Christ teaches us. It's about sacrifice, servant leader, or being a servant and having a servant's mindset, and serving, whether it's serving love or it's serving in some other capacity, it is the foundation of showing unconditional love to people. To people you love.
What a great conversation we had.
I love you.
I love you too. Hey, you have an article in the Christian Post.
Yes.
And you go to christianpost.com.
Yes. I am a columnist now. So you could either type my name or the name of the article. They retitled it for me. So I can't remember the exact wording of the article, but something about the false church.
Yeah, just type in Hedia's name.
Yes.
Miramati's a little bit harder. That's why I didn't write it on there. Yeah. I didn't write Miramati because I
don't think there's more than one Hedia on the Christian Post.
Yeah, go to Hedia. Type it into the search and you should be able to find it. Yes. It's a good one because people are commenting like mad.
Yes.
Every time I look at I hear her phone's constantly ringing and I look at it and it's a response to the article.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun.
And for whatever reason, people who read the Christian Post, they don't just type very good. It's paragraph after paragraph in a comment. Like, what do you?
It's really testing my knowledge because it's really they, and then they ask me questions like, and so what do you think about this? I'm like, oh no.
What do you think about life on Mars?
Right. That's a big question. We actually have to look that up today.
Yeah, I know. I'm interested too. That was a really good question. All right, my friends, we love you. We went over a lot of stuff today. That devotional, as usual, the devotionals that I think are going to be like, oh, this is not going to be much. I mean, and they turn out to be a whole bunch of stuff that comes out. Really quick here. Have you read
I am reading it now. And yeah. Andy's apparently mastered it.
Yes. Yeah. Been through a lot of counseling, and it's often given in counseling, marriage counseling, before you get divorced. Like, oh, dang it. Too late for that.
What the hell's your love language?
But again? But the book is being, not pushed. What's the word I'm looking for? It's the book of the month for our church.
Yes. At
Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And Pastor Jack, if you're not aware, Pastor Jack Hibbs, amazing. He was on Newsmax yesterday. A very popular pastor because he speaks truth about the Bible and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. So make sure and follow him too. But the book is the book of the month.
Yes.
All right. Anything else? Oops. P.S. It would be much harder to fake landings on Moon and Mars than actually.
Are you kidding? With Hollywood Studios?
Yes. Come on.
No way. All it takes is a good Hollywood studio.
What movie did we see last night that was so good? Greenland. Greenland was really good.
Oh my God, they could fake a whole disaster of the universe in Hollywood.
You couldn't tell that those were not real comets hitting the Earth.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Look back at the old videos of landing on the moon and tell me if I'm wrong. When you see this little tinfoiled car go over this like supposedly cratered Earth, you and I are going to watch that now. I'm telling you, just anybody, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not saying that. Just watch those movies with a discerning eye and say to yourself, wait, is that a tinfoil car?
Was President Kennedy shot by Oswald?
I have no idea. You know, that and that too. I'm like, you know, whatever. I don't think we still
live,
though.
We gotta go. We're going on 42 minutes. We usually like to keep it 30 minutes.
Do we?
We've had diarrhea of the mouth today.
Oh, why do you have to use that word?
I don't know. It just sounded right.
No.
Wait, this has been God Moment.
What? Why was that God Moment?
I don't know. Hey, we got to go. We got to go to the mall.
Yes.
We got to go shopping. Hey, just hit your phone. All right, my friends. We love you very much. Have a great weekend. Today is Friday, right?
Thank God it's Friday.
You had to look to see if it was Friday.
Because in 2 days is Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Sunday. We love Sundays.
Yes.
We love our church, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Jack Hibbs, you got to go. Wednesday's message was not televised. So you're going to have to look for it on the Calvary Chapel Chino Hills website. You can't miss it. You got to watch it. If you go to my personal page and scroll around, you'll be able to find it there. But do not miss Jack's message. It was strong. He did not have it on social media because he knew that it would cause him to be banned on all the platforms. It is so good. All right, my friends, we love you. There's other comments coming up. We can see them, but we got to go. We're going to continue to talk if I go to those comments.
Yay.
All right, my friends, we love you.
Love you. God bless.